CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Here we are, and we're live. This is CliffCentral.com on a bitterly cold Tuesday morning, the 27th of July, almost the end of another month, and just a few months left of this year. It's amazing. I mean, like, if you set goals for 2021 and you haven't started putting them into action now, you should be a little antsy, because the time she is running out. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm not trying to put any pressure on anyone, because I know what a year it's been, and you know, everybody had goals, but whether or not you're able to actually achieve those this year, give yourself a bit of a break, because I think the whole of humanity is on a bit of a holding pattern. So you know what? See what you can do, but no pressure. No pressure. CliffCentral.com. We are here, that we being me, Bulelo Tinta, and Simpiwe Mthethwa. Hello, Simpiwe. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's nice to see you. You're always like one of those people who just seems like you draw energy from somewhere. I don't know where you get it from. You got to teach the rest of us how.
I'd like to thank me, myself, and I, you know, for getting myself out of bed. And just by waking up, you know, I just have like a, yo, what's up? It's crack-a-lack, and you're good, you're great, yeah. You're awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my vibe. That's my steez.
That's very good. I like that. That word steez doesn't get used enough. That's a good word. That's a good word.
Yeah, I'm a bit old school with my, like, how I speak. I like using words that most people don't.
I like it a lot. So, all right. So, Bulelo, is everything on track for you for the year so far? I mean, again, no pressure, but did you have goals that you wanted to tick off the calendar this year, and you already started working on them, or are you behind a little bit in the schedule?
Yeah, I think in terms of a professional year, I'm not sure how it could have gone better for me in a work sense in terms of what I was trying to do without trying to be funny. Fortunately, we work in a tech business, and if anything, this has been a pretty insular industry if you've been at it from before, you know. And coming into Cliff Central, it's been 7 years of a foundation that was laid. So kind of when I try to implement my goals, we had such an awesome foundation here and know-how that on a professional level, I've had an incredible sort of year here at Cliff Central. And yeah, just one or two other things have really paid off, because I work mostly in digital in terms of the businesses that I have. Yeah. And my life hasn't changed too much. You know, I know that's not great for people to hear, but I don't drink anyway. I don't smoke.
You're going to be super careful who you say that stuff to. I mean, one of the things I'm very aware of in this show is that there are people who've had a terrible, terrible time for the last 2 years. Forget about just this year. And if you sound like you're having too much of a good time, it's actually like really horrible for them to hear. And you might not even be aware of it. You're like, yeah, lockdown's been fine. You know, I haven't really changed much. Blah, 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 blah. Then there are people who've lost their jobs, the people who've divorced, the people who've lost family members to coronavirus, all kinds of shit. And you're like, nah, I'm fine. It just sounds really, sounds so insensitive, you know.
But I also don't want to be that, I don't do fake outpouring, you know. I never want to be that person. And I think the most empathetic thing you can ever do is be honest with people, because you don't have to like what people say as long as they're honest with you. I think in the end, so I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be Mr. Gal Gadot and let's sing together. Like, here's how my life's going. There's nothing I can do about that. And it doesn't mean I think less of your tragic situation if you're going through it, you know, or I'd like to think so if I'm being authentic.
And you, Simpiwe, I mean, like, from a year and goals and getting things done, I mean, it's amazing. There's only a little bit left of this month, and then we're into August. And then, you know, from August, it's just downhill to the end of the year. Before you know it, it's like that. No, seriously, yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
the year has been crazy. I turned a year older. I'm closer to 30. That's, wow, a shocker to my system. And yeah, I like had like a very like interesting start to the year, like my tire burst, then my car. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready for this kind of adulting. But overall, I think it's been good. I think one of like my goals is to like save more. And I think I've been doing the opposite of that. Like I've been like, oh my gosh, like COVID, let's live your best life. Let's go buy whatever you've been wanting to buy. Oh, looting. Okay. Let's hang out, girl. I haven't seen you in forever. Like I want to chill with you. Like everything that's been happening gives me even more reason to be like, I need to live for the present and not necessarily
and the future. You know what? I think a lot of people also realized like they were spending on travel and they were maybe spending on clothes and stuff that we used to do in the outside world. And a lot of people have spent a bit of money on their immediate surroundings. I'm not saying that they've necessarily made their homes unaffordable, but people have like made their lives a little more comfortable at home. I mean, if you're going to be spending the whole day at home and the whole night, if you can't go anywhere, basically that needs to be a bit better. I also think some people have decided like the shoes and the clothes that they used to spend thousands of rands on, just not worth it anymore. Because who are you dressing up for? You know, what, a Zoom meeting? And that's probably a good thing. So even without realizing it, if you did spend some money, you wouldn't have been spending it on the same stuff that you spent that money on in 2018. You know?
Yeah. Anyway. I think more people are spending money on like equipment. So like you'll find more people have like a microphone and headphones and this and that, because everyone is a podcaster now and everyone has a YouTube channel and everyone has a ring light. So like people, instead of spending money on like clothing, they've realized, oh shucks, I'm indoors. Let's get proper Wi-Fi.
Even if you're not doing it from a social media point of view, even for meetings and things, I mean, you set up most of the guests for the show, right? And how many of them are now equipped with microphones and lights and like they're professional. These are people who, because they're business meetings. I mean, we've spoken to some CEOs and some really important people in this country, and old and young, it doesn't matter who they are. They've kind of got a better setup technically at home than they might ever have had before. So now we don't have to build a fancy studio and have you come and visit us early in the morning. We can just talk to you in your house and you've got a fancy studio at home.
Yeah, so many people have converted like their living rooms or their studies into studios, and it's quite, it's been affordable for them, because when they think about it, it's like, wow, like I bought a mic and I bought a ring light and I've always had a laptop. So, wow, I'm good to go. And it's actually improved the quality of how they interact with other people in this new normal.
Definitely.
Shout out to them because they were able to adapt. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
And
not sure. Yeah.
You always talk about your apocalypse team, right? And in lockdown, a zombie apocalypse team. And in lockdown, I've seen my favorite thing and something we share a passion for is chemistry, the basis of all life, of course. And the greatest thing in sort of survival is adaptability, because it's not strength, it's not speed, it's not size, it's never been that. It's adaptability. And the people that have shocked me in my personal life, that have adapted, are a tiny, tiny fraction of my friendship group, but they've really shown me, it's like, oh, you're the person I need to see more. You're capable of adapting in anything. And I've been so amazed by the people that I never, ever thought in my friendship circle would be those people, including what you've just spoken about, just adapting to it. It's like, okay, here's the reality. I'm going to be the first person at my work to make like digital and, you know, on the hop go. And it's been awesome to see that part of people as well. Like that side of their character. It's an amazing thing.
I mean, I'm very aware of the fact that we started yesterday morning a bit negative because, you know, there's so much bad news in the country, and we do tend to look around us for things to blame and things to get angry about, because that's just our default setting in South Africa. We get cross, you know, hence the looting and the rioting of the other day. And the funniest message for this morning has to already go to Corona's Boring, who says, it's so boring with the standard lockdown bullshit. I'm kind of missing the burning and rioting.
Don't worry. The country's open, Chief. Don't worry. Very soon you're going to see people turn up.
But I was thinking, like, and what you just said, Mbulelo, is so spot on. We've been given a real... We've been given an opportunity here that you don't get that often in your life, a chance to reset a whole lot of things in your own life, right? And you can blame it on circumstances. So if there are people who would accuse you of being selfish, you could say, no, I've had to make these changes because of lockdowns or coronavirus or whatever. And you can get away with really broad decisions. You can say, for example, well, it's not an important priority for me to see this person anymore because they're actually a bad influence on me, or they take up too much of my time. Or conversely, you can also gather around you your zombie apocalypse team. You can see the people's qualities because they're going through a slightly tougher time than usual. So people's colors shine through, right? When things are hard, you really see someone's value, especially the ones who do step up. And you can go, okay, that's more of what I'd like to spend the next couple of years with, people like that. And it's so gratifying to see instantly, because now instantly is kind of the way things happen, instantly how changing your immediate circumstances and improving the quality of the people you spend time with. Because before, you didn't really have a choice. You'd have to go to a whole bunch of meetings in a week. You would have to do ordinary chores that you thought were so important. You might even fit in a bit of travel. You'd be seeing so many people in the week that you wouldn't really think about the quality of those people. Now, you know, to leave the house, to leave the office is a big deal. So you really think about, how much value is that person adding to my life? And I've certainly come to the conclusion that I didn't need as many people as I had in my life at the beginning. And now the ones that I do have are really quality, and that I love. So what you just said, I'm echoing with some added sort of punch, because it's so true. So there are a few funny messages here. First of all, we're being very, very punctual, according to Steph, lately. Must be Mbulela's discipline factor. It could well be. I mean, let's give Mbulela the credit. But, you know, that's another thing, is like with Sia going and with the show changing, it's also given us a chance to shift gear. And I don't know if you're feeling the same way I am about the show right now, but it's feeling good. I mean, like, it's feeling different. And there was nothing wrong with it before, so I'm not saying there was anything that needed to happen. But change is always good. And the fact that, you know, the show was, it was going along, it was doing what it does. And I know that this audience will mostly tell us when we don't go the right way, because you guys are so honest with us that we can't get away with much. But I do know when we're resting on our laurels and we're being a bit lazy, and that's not the plan for the next while. So stick around, because if you're not feeling what Mbulela and Siphiwe just spoke about like the optimistic, positive side of 2021 and what your goals might be, we're going to help you. That's what we're here for. And we're going to help you to achieve those things practically. So we've got lots of really good stuff. In fact, we're going to speak to a guy this morning called Yatish Nasi, who I think is going to also inspire you. He's got some ideas and some messages around what we're going through in South Africa at the moment, and the world, frankly. I mean, like, it's the whole world that's going through this stuff that may just inspire you. Vince says, strippers are to Sia, we just brought Sia up, what astrologists are to Mbulelo. Yeah, it's about the same. Just pure hatred, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Caleb says, we're 2 years into the pandemic. If you don't have the right tech, it takes less to potty train than a baby, unless they're Sia. Shame, Sia's coming up a lot this morning. I wonder if his ears are burning. There is no need to purchase fancy prison surveillance equipment when the prisoners purchase it themselves. Corona is boring. Very good. Michael says, one good thing is that KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, rather, have already done their Christmas shopping.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they got all the new clothes, all the new toys. You know, they have it all cheap. God. Even the cans, people. You know. Yeah, they're good for the next 6 months at least, chief, you know.
That's great. So, yeah. Sun Marie says, thanks to you guys and the motivation to improve, I now exercise twice a week with my friend and her mom. Would never have thought that a year ago, so thank you guys. Well, Sun Marie, I mean, what can we say? It's you that's doing the work. The work. Melissa says, we just miss Sia. Okay, well, that's very sweet. Don't worry, he'll visit at some point. Don't you stress. All right, so for this morning, I mentioned Yatish will join us a little bit later on. I'm going to talk to him. We've also got a couple other things lined up for you for this week, which I think will be lots of fun. Some really interesting guests. And of course, as always, your suggestions are welcome. If there's somebody, I've had some really cool suggestions this week from people on social media. They said to me, why don't you get that Nhlanhla Lux guy on? He's cool. He's making a lot of noise on social media too. So we're going to try and track him down at some point. But any suggestions you have, let's hear about it. Tracy says, The looting in KZN was like Black Friday on steroids.
Too right, Tracy.
And Mr. Speedy says, the new South African proverb for 2021 is, I'm so hungry I could eat a TV. That's, yes, that's very good. All right. Well, I saw something so funny last week. Gilly Upter, who's been on the show a couple of times, Gilly put up a thing where you can figure out how much you are worth in camels as a woman.
Ooh, okay. So I'm here for that.
Yeah, if you had to be bought by like an Arab prince, what would you be worth in camels? So Simpiwe, if you do a quick search on what is my worth in camels, you'll get a little equation that you can take part in. I don't think Mbulelo and I would be worth very much. We're not even going to try. See if you can do it quickly. And let's see what you'd be worth in camel. Okay, she was very funny when she talked.
Because this is similar to a diary, right?
Correct.
And camels. Okay, let's see. So how much weight? It's how much is one camel going for? Yeah.
Well, cool. It's funny you should mention that because camels are quite valuable, especially obviously in certain parts of the world. Yeah. So there's a camel price, like there's a gold price. Camel price at the moment starts from about $55,000 for a really good camel. But thoroughbreds can go for even more than that. So, you know, camels are way more than the average horse, basically.
Questions that they're asking here are so interesting.
All right.
So first it's like your age, your height, hair color, hair length, eye color,
yes,
boob size, figure.
There we go. Right.
Okay.
If you want to take this seriously, you've got to objectify yourself because you're already objectifying yourself by saying how many camels am I worth, right? So
yes,
fill it in.
And so let's see what you're calculation.
Yeah, you do it quietly on your own. You don't need to share all your personal details with us. Just give us the total price in camels. That's what we want to know.
It says 63 camels. I don't know if 63. That's good or bad.
That's pretty good going. Yes. Yeah. That's very good going. Wow. I don't think that's a bad price. Oh, nice. Now remember, according to the calculation that I made on the price of the average camel, 825,000 rand a camel. Okay. That's a lot of money. 825,000 rand for an average camel in like the Emirates. So multiply that by how many? You said you're 63, right? 63 camels.
Yes.
Listen,
that's a lot of
girlfriend. That makes you
worth a lot.
Yeah, this is just a very bad calculation, but almost 50 million. That's quite a lot of money.
I've always known that I was destined for wealth. You know, I always knew that I was not born for struggle. I was born to live a soft, luxury, crisp life. And that is proof, ladies and gentlemen. So next time you approach me, just know I know my worth. I really do.
That's unbelievable. You know, there was once a camel racing fan who spent 6.5 million pounds on just three camels. And sometimes camels that win races can go up to $5 million a camel. Some can even fetch up to $30 million a camel. That's insane. I didn't know camels were so valuable.
Does this mean when I eventually get married, I should ask for camels and not cows? I'm just trying to make sure.
Definitely. I mean, if you can find them. And obviously, you've got to have the right place to keep them because camels thrive in the kind of environments that humans don't. Right. Very useful animals, by the way. Very useful.
Highly sophisticated. Yeah. Well adapted. But before we move on, a friend of mine used to, when she was living what the young kids are calling dad life. She used to be, let's call her an intermediary for women that were considered classically good looking onto hot stuff. So it's not quite the life that people think it is. But good looking.
She was an intermediary for what? So she used to trade women to guys for camels.
Oh, you see, when you put it like that now, no, sounds so like on anything. Yachts, but well, this happens everywhere on yachts is people want to hang out with good looking people, right? And especially those guys, they have all the money to pay. So if you're willing to do it, and it's still a real thing today, by the way, it's not like, it's not hidden. There are still people who, if you're good looking, we'll get you to go to Dubai and just know you're going to be on a yacht. And yeah, stuff happens.
Stuff happens is the scary part.
But also, isn't that like considered pretty privileged, you know, when you you get to experience certain luxuries or access to life because you're just pretty, you know?
Exactly.
But why do we call it that? Like, if you're better looking, your life will be better. Let's accept that and move on. Like, I do not expect anybody to treat Yanez like better than me. Like, if you saw Yanez and you saw me, I fully expect Yanez to. I expect every single woman or gay man to go to Yanez. That's what's gonna happen. I'm cool with it. Or is it Yanez? Sorry, I don't want to disrespect.
I mean, we live in the era of I'm woke, so everybody needs to acknowledge the privilege that they have. There's so many privileges out there. There's white privilege. Wait, it's pretty privilege, white privilege. There is black privilege. You know what I mean? There's so many that you just like, okay, like even if I wasn't thinking I was living a life of privilege, I kind of am. You know what I mean?
I don't understand. Because everyone is different, there's going to be a different privilege for everyone. Like some people, some people have language privilege. Some people have eye color privilege. Some people have eye vision privilege. Like if you don't need glasses, you have vision privilege. I mean, if this is how we're going to live our life, is making people take stock of their privileges, you could call that gratitude and just be a very thankful person, and then you achieve the same result. How other people respond to it is totally up to them, right?
Yeah, but people get mad and then they want you to acknowledge it. They want you to be like, I have pretty privilege and that's why I'm able to go to the places that I'm able to go to. And they want you to acknowledge that you are, you know, able to do certain things in your life that, hey, you know.
Pretty privilege.
Other people can't do.
We had Nina Hasty on the other day and she was talking about like Ingram's camphor cream, and they actually sent us a hamper to the office because they.
Can we talk about cars, y'all? I'm looking for a car right now. I'm in the market for a car, so hint, nudge.
We were talking about this stuff, and they sent this package along. And I'll tell you what, I've been using it because my hands are so goddamn dry at the moment. I look like a zombie. I look like I'm turning into ash, and dust. It's that this is the worst time of year for anybody who's like trying not to break into scales and flaky skin and looking like they're as dry as a riverbed in the desert in the middle of winter. That's how it feels right now. I don't know about you guys. Feeling the same?
Yes. Like I have lotion on me and I've said it before. I'm not a fan of like ashy skin. So no, sir. No, ma'am. That is not cute. We stopped that right now in 2021. So please, we have canceled that in my humble opinion. If we're going to cancel anything, we are canceling ashy skin. Thank you.
I know that one of the other things that's happened in the last little while, Simpiwe, is that since Cyril opened up the country on Sunday, you've received invitations from people to do things this weekend. Which proves that things are going back to normal. That's a good sign. So
you know the country is open when booze is available. Like it can be closed. They can be like, no, you know, no inter travel between provinces or whatnot. But the minute there is alcohol, best believe you're going to get a text. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Let's hang. Let's chill. You know, restaurants don't need to be open. The only thing that this country needs is bourgeois, Mazalwane. And I promise you, everything is okay. People are like, yo, let's hang. Like, guys, the country is open. As far as I know, the country is open. Oh. Like, live your best life.
I went to the shops yesterday and I thought, because there's a shop, a supermarket, and then next to it is the liquor version of that supermarket, right? And I thought that would be packed with people, but it was actually dead quiet. So I thought, all right, well, I might as well go and do my liquor shopping, which I did because I don't, you know, I don't like to run out of anything. And it's funny when the president bans anything, then I'm like, oh, that's all I want. So I went in, but there was no one else in the shop at the time I was there. And I thought that Monday morning after he's unbanned booze, it would be buzzing with people. But maybe people just don't have money, or maybe they're like, don't need this stuff. I'll buy it on Thursday. Or Maybe I don't need it ever again.
I think people are buying. It's just that they understand that you don't need to buy on Monday. And a whole lot of people were buying illegal booze. You know, they take it or leave it, guys. So, I mean, I think they kind of out of business just for like a little while. So like from maybe Wednesday, because there's a long weekend coming. Wednesday, I think we'll see a peak in people buying a whole lot of alcohol because when they need to stock up.
The it's Women's Day weekend.
Yes. Isn't it this weekend?
No, it's the 9th. It's the,
oh, so it's 9th. The oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm already 9th. Ahead, you see.
Hang on a second. Let me just check what day that is. I need to see this. Let me do the work for you. You don't have to leave your house. Monday the 9th. Monday the 9th. So what we'll do is we'll have a long weekend from the 7th, 8th, 9th. That's very cool. So not this coming weekend, but the one after that. Because this Sunday is the 1st, right? So next Sunday is the 8th, and then that Monday we've got off. So get through this weekend, and then you have a long weekend after that. Nice. That's a cool time to try and get out of town a little bit, even if it's, you know, just to visit a friend somewhere or do what I did this weekend and just go away for 2 nights. I mean, there's some really, really amazing places, and they don't have to cost you a fortune, you know. They could be within an hour or two's drive out of Johannesburg or Pretoria, or if you're in the Cape or in KZN, there are lots of cool places to go to as well. I know people who've been out in the Eastern Cape as well to places like Hogsback where it's freezing. But, you know, you may as well have the full freezing experience by going somewhere extra cold and spending those 2 days. Maybe you'll even get snow. You know, this is the only time of year where you might be able to see some of that white stuff on the ground. So it could be quite cool to do. And I think a long weekend is as great an excuse as you possibly could need. And here's an interesting point, again, by Corona's Boring. Maybe the market had managed to work around the alcohol ban. Prohibition has always worked well. That's such a good point. And Simpiwe kind of did say that, that many people have their illegal bootleg suppliers. I know I had mine. I didn't really need them this time around, but the time before I did. And, you know, once you've found your supplier, you don't really care what the president does. You just know you're going to be paying a little bit more. That's all. Because what I bought yesterday would have cost me an extra 20% at least for a whole lot less stuff a couple of days ago if I'd bought it then. So I think, you know, that helps, is that you're not being ripped off. But at the same time, if you need it, you'll get it. And you know, it's funny, this country, you can get anything you want if you've got the money. If you're prepared to pay for it, you can get anything you need. That's
what are truly rules? What are rules?
What are rules? Right. Nobody cares. Angus says, watch SAB show ANC cheap today what service delivery is. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Because breweries, geez, they have a machine they switch on, hey. The liquor stores are the suppliers, allegedly. Well, good for them. They've got to stay in business. So why the hell not? And if they can charge a premium to get it to you during a time where it's banned, awesome. Tracy says, we were in Sutherland recently. That's in the middle of the Western Cape Karoo area. And it is freezing there. She says, I can understand why they use crocheted toilet seats that stick to your butt. Even you must know when crocheted toilet seats stick to your butt, then it's freezing. Oh no, CBM Duduzi says my supplier is in jail.
Oh sorry. No. What did he do? Who snitched? Like, you guys must help him out, hey? He was a good man in the community, you know? Just saying. So
well, Inga, tying together the camels and the dry hands, says my hands feel rougher than a camel's knee these days with all the sanitizer. Yeah, that's about right. That doesn't help, hey? Doesn't help.
Since we're now all in, by the way, every place should be forced to have nice sanitizer, not that spray that I'm pretty sure is just, it feels like thinners that they've got, they spray in my hands sometimes. Is now, okay, listen, all the big supermarkets. We all know we're in this for what, 3-4 more years, whatever it may be.
Oh my God.
Here is the list of 5 nice, like lathery ones you can have. I'm not going to be spraying, you know, paint remover on my hands.
Exactly. And it's so chemical, that stuff. Well, I mean, alcohol does dry things out. So the purer it is, almost the worse it is for your skin. And so even the cheap stuff, it doesn't really make a difference. You don't get a hand sanitizer that's going to moisturize you. You're going to have to put something else on for that. But the sanitizer does clean. Listen, I have to see silver linings here.
Oh, that's nice and positive.
I kind of like that people, their grubby, dirty hands aren't going everywhere they used to go. That's a good thing. We should be pleased with that. Don't you think?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, my concern is we'll revert to default, you know?
Probably, it's worth celebrating.
Sure.
Like, a greasy person will always be greasy. It's like some people that I just, like some celebrities, I look at them and I'm like, you need a bath. I need to scrub you. You just dirt. Like, I just need to. But, I mean, we can't do that. So, even sanitizer can't help.
About right. All right. So, let's take a look at some of the headlines that are going on today. Alex Residence, and you know, our own Jane Malachi is from Alex. She says, many, many people say this is a story from ENCA this morning. Residents and businesses who have been impacted negatively by looting in Johannesburg's Alexandra Township remain closed as they assess whether it is actually worth rebuilding. Alex residents hope shops can reopen soon as they're having to travel much further for basic goods. It's very difficult in places like Alex. Hey, listen to this.
Many businesses destroyed during looting in Johannesburg's Alexandra Township remain closed as they assess whether it's worth rebuilding. Alex residents hope shops reopen soon as they are having to travel much further for basic goods.
So that's from ENCA. That's pretty horrible. You know, it's hard enough for people in Alex because transport is so expensive too. Now they have to use the transport to do their basic stuff they would have done up the road. So they're spending money on transport they didn't have to spend it on before. This is really not great. You've got to feel for people in Alex and places like that have been hardest hit. And of course, I hope the people in those neighborhoods take it out on the people who did the looting and the rioting, because those are the people to blame. You know, it's so sad in this country. It's never the politicians themselves or the rich people or even the middle class people who really suffer the most. It's those people right at the bottom of the scale who get hit hardest. And it just seems so unfair to me that, you know, some granny who lives in Alex, who's never done anything criminal in her life, has to bear the brunt of all these assholes who did all the looting. She has to be the one who carries the can. It's terrible. Several economists have called for government to make a 350 rand social grant payment. Now, I love these economists who say government must give X amount of money, and they never talk much about where that money's coming from. But the reinstated 350 rand social relief distress grant will cost the state, according to most economists, 30 billion rand. There's a view that the president should consider increasing the amount. Sure, why not just do what Joe Biden's doing? Just hand out free money. That's always going to solve people's problems. Why not? There won't be such a thing as inflation on the other side of that, right? You don't have to worry about that. Dummies. Some of these people who call themselves economists, you really have to wonder how they got their degrees. You have to imagine that they did terrible, terrible things, sexual favors and so on, in order to get their degrees, because they don't sound very economically smart to me. And some of these people have no money themselves. Like, you don't want to listen to an economist who's broke, right?
Mm-hmm. My only question is, doesn't that make people more dependent on the government? It's like, I'm no economist, but like in my household, how I was brought up, it's like, if I give you money every month, I become very relaxed because I know every month I'm going to get money from whoever. So if you give people that 350 and they become dependent on it, all we're going to have is a whole lot of South Africans who are just like, but government needs to provide. Government needs to do this. Government needs to give me that.
And also, you don't solve problems by just handing out money to people. If you've ever had a poor relative, right, and that poor relative is always asking for money, have you ever noticed their condition or their attitude to money or their income overall improve by you giving them free money? No. Everybody knows a poor relative. Everybody knows, or a friend. Let's say it's a friend who you've lent money to. They never get better. They don't ever, on the rarest of occasions, do they even pay you back, right? most of the time they're like, they just get worse. They ask you for more and more and more. And you, if you keep handing it out, all you do is enable their bad financial habits. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people in this country who deserve this money. I've said it before. If you were put into a lockdown situation where you lost your job, if you had to close your business, government owes you for making the decision to lock down, right? So they should be paying you for that. But to just give people 350 Rand, which by the way, it is a bit of an insult, but it's all we can afford in this country. So let's also be rational about this. That's all we can afford. We can't afford more than that. If you keep giving people 350 Rand, then you know what? It just becomes part of their budget. They don't use that 350 Rand to get themselves out of trouble or to pay off existing debts or to settle problems that they already have. They just use that as extra income on the stuff that goes over and above. So that you're not really solving their problem. And all you're doing as a politician is you're buying a vote, you think.
Also. Yeah.
That's what you're doing. I mean, that's what Good Cop is saying here too. So we thought of this at exactly the same moment, Good Cop. Well done. One vote equals 350 Rand. And it used to be that one T-shirt was one vote. And by the way, when does this end? Good Cop points out that this social grant of 350 Rand ends in March. And guess when we vote? In February. If that doesn't tell you the whole story, then I don't know what does. Like, how cynical could these guys be? You know, they could have at least made it. Maybe they could have made it January, or they could have made it April. But no, they do it exactly. They end it the month after voting. Sons of bitches, hey. Yo, such terrible people in politics. Such terrible, terrible people. How much do we spend on changing the name of towns, says Captain S. It's like children give, 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 and then it's expected. That is exactly what it is, like children. You know, if you give a kid X amount of money every month, they'll spend that amount of money every month. And the same goes for many, many people. I'm differentiating between those people who have lost their livelihood because of lockdown. Those people need help. Government owes them help. But the rest of the people, you can't just be giving out free money. There is no such thing, first of all, as free money. And to go back to the article for a second, they say that there's been a slight improvement in revenue collection. Now, this surprises me. Credit to Edward Kiswete and his people. They really are an efficient department, SARS. They seem to do things right. And whether you think that's good or not is up to you. But it seems SARS is capable and competent. Apparently, better corporate tax collection by SARS is partly to be given credit for this extra money that we have lying around. A lot of new corporate income tax has been collected by SARS, so that's a reason they can put in these billions of 350 Rand over 8 months, besides the political pressure that they're under. So let's see what happens. Government obviously are expecting the grant will be expanded to be allowed, to allow unemployed caregivers to apply to it as well. So there's some interesting headlines coming out of South Africa's economy at the moment. And then Pink, you know, Pink, the artist, she's offered to pay the Bikini Bottom fine for Norway's women's handball team. Thank goodness for Pink. She really is the Rosa Parks and the Martin Luther King Jr. of this generation, is she not? I mean, there are people who got shot at in Sharpeville who are busy bowing down at the moment to Pink in all of her magnanimity. Well done, Pink. So glad someone could pay that fine for the Norwegian Bikini Bottoms. You're our saint. You're our hero.
What a hero she is.
You couldn't possibly
be doing it. She picked the struggle. And that was the struggle. Like, she was like, oh, this is a struggle, and I want to help as best as I can because I can relate to it, you know?
Good for her. Good for Pink. That's, we appreciate that. I just want to say, Pink, you're up there with all the great heroes of the past. Paying for
did you say all the buzz sisters. Lines you know there are buzz lines, especially when the sisters have together, like you know, it's just like she must have said it's our time now.
She must have used that hashtag women helping women or something like that. It's just great. Isn't that terrific?
you know, there are certain celebrities that just they go past a line where they stop remembering that they're human, you know, and then everything is about them. Like, this is Pink now. Like, you've made unbelievable music. Thank you for the entertainment. Shut the hell up now. Like, what are we doing? Like, what? Norway, arguably the wealthiest nation in Europe, right?
Yeah.
The wealthiest nation in Europe needs pink after being probably the most sophisticated Western civilization we have on this continent, needs pink to come and advocate for their women by virtue signaling, well, by going, I'm with you, sisters.
Don't get too upset, Mbulelo, just because pink didn't say your bikini bottom's fine. All right,
well, calm down. I mean, she could barely afford my bikini bottoms, you know?
All right. Well, over the last week or two, and let's all be honest about this for a second, we've watched in anguish as some parts of the country have experienced extreme levels of lawlessness and violence. It's a scary time in South Africa, and this is probably a conversation you've been having with your nearest and dearest for a while now. We're all a little bit angry. We're all a little bit scared. We're all a bit heartbroken. We all feel a bit helpless in the wake of all of the stuff that's happened. We're almost at a loss for words. Our ideals, however, cannot end here. So the month of July and Mandela Day, it's obviously time, that happened just a couple of days ago, to observe the legacy of the people who brought us to this point in our history where we are after 27 years, which is exactly the same amount of time that Madiba spent in prison. We're starting to grow up as a democracy, and there are going to be growing pains. And there are obviously pressures that the whole world is under at the moment. Let's be fair about this. It's not just South Africa that is struggling after what the world has been through, right? So we're called upon to either be part of the solution or to just complain. And the latter achieves very little. So I want to speak to somebody who I feel has the right message for us. And this is the kind of message we should all be spreading around at the moment. Instead of complaining and making things worse, let's find a way to make things a little bit better. And in order to help us get our minds right on this, we're going to speak to Yatish Nasi. So Yatish is probably known to people in the advertising business more than anything else, but he is the chief experience officer at Grid. And I'm very excited to speak to him. Yatish, you've started a campaign here, which I think a lot of people want to be a part of. First of all, morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very cold, but good. How are you?
Yeah, nice to see you, man. Listen, I just love the fact that there are people who are doing positive things and who are trying to get the rest of us thinking that way. Because we need to. This is our home. This is our part of the world. Everyone in the world is going through some difficulty at the moment. We don't need to feel sorry for ourselves. We need to find ways to project positivity out to those who need it the most. And we need to lift ourselves up and do what this country always does. Be as resilient as we are. Be as strong as we are. Be as positive as we can be at our best. Let's get that going. And you've started a campaign called This Is Not Us, right? Tell us about the campaign.
Sure. So, I mean, initially, I guess it started pretty much the way you described, right? We were all sort of sitting around, you know, you're in countless meetings and you're watching, you're literally watching the world burn outside, right? And you're seeing all these messages come through in various groups and bits and pieces. And I guess, you know, as the sort of communication fraternity, what was really, really clear to us was, I mean, I don't know if you guys experienced it, but, you know, I have a lot of family in Durban, a lot of friends in Durban. I'm from there originally. And Durban is probably the hardest hit, right? And so a lot of the messages and stuff coming through, you know, I mean, the reality is you could sense the undercurrent very quickly. Move from frustration to there were elements of racism kicking in again. There were elements of hate speech kicking in. Some of the messages being banded about, it were just, you know, they were starting to stoke the wrong emotions. And so, you know, to be honest, there were some messages between some clients and ourselves, and we kept, I suppose, talking to each other over the next few days to go, what could be done? And what was obvious to us was the lead up to Mandela's birthday. It was in Mandela month. And so we very quickly rallied to go, look, we've got to just get something out there that just plugs the hole for now, right? That just gets people to stop and think, just stop for a second. Mm-hmm. Right. Which is where we did the This Is Not Us piece. And it was, you know, it was opportune for the time. It was the right message. But, you know, as soon as we got that out, we sort of grouped together as a team and went, that's not enough. It's very easy. It's very easy to describe what we're not. What's going to become really important in the months and maybe even years to come is defining who we are. And so it was very easy for us to then pivot to say, look, that's not us. So what is us? And we've sort of pivoted to the idea of this is us, which we think, you know, if the one was really tactical for South Africa, was to get things to stop, that this is strategic, right? And this is really about reforging national identity.
Well, there's nothing wrong
the next few years.
There's nothing wrong with first determining what you are not. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. Before you can start to define yourself and you start to, you know, kind of come up with your identity as a nation. And we've struggled with this as South Africans for a long time, you know, because we really are a very diverse and very nuanced and interesting place. And that's to our credit. That's not a bad thing. If we were all homogenous and easy to put into one category, sure, we'd probably be a much more united and simple nation, and we'd be a bit of a caricature like so many nations in the world are. But the fact that we have all this diversity and we have all this difference in South Africa is actually a major strength. It's a powerful value to have. It is just difficult to define. And unfortunately, when times are tough, people revert to kind of tribal and backward and quite primitive instincts. And when you're angry and when you're feeling threatened, that's just how people behave. In fact, you could even say that was true for all the rioters and the looters, is that they were going back into some dark place where, you know, we pretend that we're better than that some of the time. And then when things like this happen, we obviously realize that we're not much better than it. And then the people who are impacted by that, we were just talking about the situation in Alex now, where people can't go to the shops yet, because there aren't any shops open yet. So they have to leave Alex and go far away to get their groceries. So obviously those people are going to be impacted very negatively too. You've got to get out of that though and start to look to the horizon. There are 60 or 70 million of us in this country who have to make it through the next couple of days. Not only the next couple of days, but that we have to have a vision for the next few years. And what is that going to be? It's got to be something good, right? Otherwise, why bother? No one wants to wake up in a place that's worse tomorrow than it was today. And I believe that this country has enormous opportunities and potential. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah, you know, in fact, we drew a little graph almost as a one-pager to summarize what we thought needed to be done. And it went from what we call health of the nation to wealth of the nation. Right? Because, you know, so much of what we're dealing with, you know, to your point, there is anger, there is frustration, there is the emotional aspect. But at its core, it is an economic challenge, right? It is a challenge for sort of sustained equality. You know, unless you address those big underlying gaps, you know, we can sing kumbaya all you like. And I think in the advertising fraternity, we default to that, right? We default to messages of unity and messages of positivity, and they're important. What's becoming clear,
to your point, sorry, Yatish, I saw an ad for, I think, Brand South Africa or whatever. They put like Nkosi Sikelela under the, you know, they play Nkosi Sikelela or choir's version of that. And then they've got people doing all the cleaning up the next day and all that stuff. And those kind of messages, they work for a day. You go, oh yeah, of course, this is the country we are. But they don't have long lasting impact. And eventually they become a little bit twee and people go, ugh, I'm being propagandized to. So it's a hard line to walk, right?
Very, very. I mean, we set out four things, you know, that we thought needed to happen, right? The first was that we needed to aggregate and amplify, because to your point, there's a lot of great efforts, but could we collect all of them? That was really important to us. The other thing which we said was critical was what we call to become a platform of understanding, right? And it'll make sense for you guys, I guess, is we spoke about journalistic integrity. So this is us, is the shop owner who's got looted. It's also the guy who did the looting. You know, those are both South Africans. So there is us in both of those realities. Often we found, if you look through footage, or if you look at opinions and you look at pieces coming through, the people who looted are sometimes the people doing the cleaning. And I don't think that's because they're good or bad people, right? It's clearly there are circumstantial issues at play. So us, to your point, is very diverse. This is us is not just an identity of, like, you know, good, resilient people. There are people with all sorts of challenges, and recognizing who we are is going to be critical to moving forward. So a platform of understanding we thought was critical to become a symbol for positive action. So we thought action, not messages. And again, in advertising, we go to Adland quite quickly, tell good messages. But what we really wanted to do was be a sign of action. It's if you did something, you could say, this is us, not this is what I want to do. This is what I've done. And then the last one, and in some ways, I hate to say this, but in some ways, it's like we're crowdsourcing Brand South Africa here. What's happening is this is something I feel Brand South Africa should be doing, but we're seeing members of the public do it. And I think, you know, Jay Naidoo said something similar in his open letter, which is to say it's happening at grassroots. You know, I think we've all recognized that we can't look to government to do everything. And South Africans are great at that. We get on with stuff anyway. So this is really a way to collect all the getting on with stuff.
I love that.
And sort of, yeah.
So what's the next evolution of the campaign? Because so far, everything you say seems to resonate. And I just love this point that you make now, right at the end of this question. You said South Africans are stepping up and filling the gap. And I've seen so many really cool groups started on social media. And normally social media is a place that doesn't help. It makes things worse. But it is interesting that there are people who are, you know, starting groups like Rebuild South Africa, Start Good Community Initiatives. There are a whole lot of people who are doing incredible things at a community level. And again, as you say, not just communicating, not just saying it, but doing it, which is something we've realized we have to do for ourselves. No one's going to do that for us. The politicians can't do it for us. Corporate South Africa can't really do it for us. You have to do it for yourself. And what we've learned in all of this, and I think it's a positive message, is just how amazingly deep South African resilience goes, how communities have stood together, how people have managed to come together at a time like this and support each other. We've reestablished supply lines. We've reestablished law and order in some communities. And all of that didn't come from the top down. It came from the bottom up. That's powerful stuff, right? Where does the campaign go from here?
So, you know, when we conceived it, I think we set up quite a lengthy role, you know, to that point of going from health to wealth of nation. And so initially we spoke about just trying to collect positive stories and sort of get that starting to sort of push forward. What we thought was always going to be really critical about that holder of this is us, is that everything you spoke about represents a different facet of the action going on, right? So something like Rebuild, which is tremendous, really resonates with one part of the community. But then we've seen other comments from some youth particularly say things like, what do you mean rebuild? It was never built for me to begin with. You should start building. So what you're going to start to find and what our intention is to represent all the facets of the challenge. Cause, you know, hashtag rebuild, this is us, or we're staying, this is us, or corporates can come on board and put their piece, this is us. So we think over time, what this should be doing is really aggregating all these efforts and it can almost demonstrate the full length and breadth of what society is. But to answer your question more directly in terms of next steps, you know, where we are at the moment is we've managed to get a tremendous amount of support from some of the corporates, even though I know you say they're not the solution. In some ways, we do need them. We need private citizens.
They're not going to be on their own.
Absolutely.
What I'm saying is that we can't, as ordinary citizens anymore, look to government and big business to do everything. I mean, they're not going to save you. You have to stand up. You have to be counted. Pumi always says this on the Burning Platform every week. She says, you know, it's up to you. You are the person who's going to save you. Nobody else.
Well, it's like, you know, I always love that saying, you know, you're not stuck in traffic. You are traffic, you know? and so, you know, in many ways, you know, if we all sit on the sidelines and go, South Africa's broken, like we're South Africa, you know, that to your point, the buck stops here. So, So in terms of our next steps, I think, you know, what we're working furiously on is sort of gathering as much momentum as we can within corporate and private. And really setting this thing up for, you know, probably the biggest role I think it's going to have in the years to come is at some point we're going to have to reopen tourism. I mean, we're going to have to reopen for investment. And in that event, you know, this is us going to be something else. We're going to have to say, this is our culture. This is our natural resource. This is our people. This is our hospitality. You know, we're going to have to reintroduce ourselves to each other and the world. And that's a really important piece for this to do.
I love it. Yatish, keep doing this good work. We need people pushing the positive messages out there, and we need people getting everybody to rally behind something meaningful. Because as you say, there are lots of people with lots of different opinions at this point. Corona has turned us into monsters in some ways, and we need to now find our way out of it, because this is not how we want to be forever. And we can't have a country, a sustainable country, that continues down the path that we've been on for the last little while. So let's find a better way. And I'm sure we can do it. I'm absolutely convinced that with the backing of the smart people in the corporate world, with the backing of people who understand how messaging works in the advertising world, and with ordinary citizens rallying behind important causes, I think we can easily get ourselves to where we need to be. I love it. Well done to you guys. Very, very nice stuff.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for the time.
Cool. There we go. That's Yatish. He decided to start this campaign, and I think it's terrific. Yatish Nasi, and he's at Grid, who are really cool. They do some amazing work, and well done to them for getting involved in this. Very nice. Don't you feel a little bit better now?
Yeah. No, South Africans are the way.
This stuff is massively important. If you don't get your attitude right every day, how can you expect things to get better everywhere else? You know, it's not an outside-in thing. I think even Hanan said this the other day. He said, start with the in, and then it starts getting better out. That's how it works.
I loved what Yatish said about, especially in our business, right, is it's just murder, because everyone's about meetings and this. But he said something awesome, was that it's about action, because ultimately what makes all of these countries, I don't know what countries people love, but I always refer to the same ones, is ultimately, from the individual to the societal, you are the things you do, not the things we say. And we know in our business how people love to talk and meetings about meetings, and yeah, we'll make a spreadsheet about this, and then someone in marketing will do. And I loved when he said it's about action, and absolutely, man, could South Africa do with that right now? And we're capable. We are, when South Africans focus, we are so capable. It is an awesome thing to see when we do it.
100% right. Okay, so when we come back in the next little while, we've got a whole lot more and plenty to talk about this morning. It's Simpiwe and Bulelo and you and I. And if you've got something that you want to throw in, you can either add to the YouTube comments, you can message us on WhatsApp 0797482090, or you can drop us an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com. I want to hear from you this morning. Also, of course, if you want to get involved in this campaign, I'm sure there are going to be ways for us to do that going forward as well. So we'll let you know what happens with This Is Us, which is just, I think, exactly what we need. Because really, I think a lot of stuff fell flat on Mandela Day that was probably well-intentioned. There were probably many people doing really good things on Mandela Day, but I think people were at that stage like Gatvol. And there's some of the stuff that has run out of energy. It's just because people are feeling threatened, feeling sad, feeling a little bit weary, feeling a bit depressed, feeling anxious. A lot of the good stuff that we should be putting into our lives actively, we're choosing to ignore because it's too hard. You know, it's too difficult. It makes us feel too bad. So you've got to break out of that, because otherwise nothing good's going to happen.
And on this note, so shout out right now is something I think South Africa has kind of a bit of a loser complex, and we just have for a long time. And I'm in sport, but when we find something special, and we've got something special right now, shout out, and I'm going to do what the Australians do to it, Tatiana Schoonmaker, because she's just gone. She stormed to Tatiana Schoonmaker storming to a silver at the Olympics. Like, we should protect people like her in South Africa, and we should give her everything. She's 24. She's just gone with absolutely zero support, by the way, because I know the people that run sport in this country, all of them, they're a bunch of palookas, and I'm not afraid to say it. They know they are. Tatiana Schoonmaker is right now Olympic silver medalist, and she's 24. She is beautiful. 24 years old. Swimmers go till about 35. They can peak at up until 35. Well, we need to give people like her everything. She is our advertising. And I know it seems silly.
Spot on.
But you do well at the Olympics. People look at South Africa. Hey, maybe let's go and invest there. Well, what is it about these South Africans? So let's invest in people like her. We had Wade for Nikak and really put her to the world. Not some of the, I don't know. I don't want to use the words I could for other people, but man, this young woman is incredible, man. She's just, I know what lack of support she has. To go and get an Olympic silver medalist as a South African right now is, we got to protect her. So shout out to her, man, and being about action.
I want to talk about something that Yatish brought up there that I don't agree with and that I think a lot of people are talking about. Stink Mina, ZA, that's a great name, by the way. Cape Town is the most unequal city in the world. So, yeah, keep voting the what. I'm not sure. So the point being that this equality thing keeps coming up, this idea of equality, I want to talk about that a little bit because I think I have a very different and perhaps unpopular point of view on equality. It's not as cut and dried as many people make it out to be. And it gets thrown around by lots of people who don't actually have any intention of doing anything about the outcomes that inequality brings. I think they just use it as a political weapon. And I also think it's kind of a childish notion. But we'll talk about that just now because I'd like to hear your thoughts on it too. So if you have any ideas on inequality, we're gonna dig into that just now. And you can always change the direction of the conversation anytime you like. It's your show. You get to decide. And well done to Tatiana. That's a very good point. I'm glad you brought her up. Okay. CliffCentral.com. It's just after 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. Tell us what you're up to. CliffCentral.com.